genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That's 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the county, area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Fun Friday. We have a variety of fun topics that we're going to cover today. In our first half hour, we'll talk to the Get It Done guy to find out his 9 steps to work less and do more. Next, we'll talk to the head of the California Olive Ranch to learn how and why California olive sales are rising. If you're a foodie like me, you're going to love this segment. Finally, we're going to talk to a crime novelist who's going to tell us why we're so fascinated with crime mysteries on television. She'll also explain the allure of Los Angeles as a site for many of these mysteries. Now, my first guest is a productivity consultant and author who says, "You can't manage time. It's a misnomer. You can only manage yourself." He urges us to think about self-management. How can you use your day to get the most bang out of the time you have? He's going to teach us the keys to success each and every day is to make the most progress possible. If you want any ideas on how to be more productive, call us at 639-0008. Steve Robbins is a graduate of Harvard Business School and MIT. He's a time management expert, an executive coach, and a serial entrepreneur who's been involved in 10 startups, including FTP Software, managing the creation of the Quicken Visa card, and developing a new strategy for Babson College. Stever's Get It Done podcast has been a number one download in the business category on iTunes, and he's remained in the top 10 for the last 3 years. Stever, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. Very good.
Oh, good. We're so glad to have you, especially when we have an expert like such as yourself to come in and talk about how we can work more and get less done. Always a favorite topic of mine.
No, wait. You just said work more and get less done.
Oh, no. I did it backwards. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we want to work less and get more done. Good catch there, Steve.
Ah, yeah. Thank you.
All right. So let's get into it. You write that a lot of what we humans do doesn't really serve us very well. It doesn't move us towards our goals. It doesn't make us happy. If that's so, how can working less actually lead us to doing more?
Well, the answer is, if a lot of the times you're spending your time doing things that aren't moving you towards your goal, if you just stop doing those things, already you're working less and doing the same amount. And now if you substitute for the time you just saved, if you put in some things that will move you towards your goal, then you're working less and doing more.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense.
The concept is easy.
Yeah, the concept is easy. Like everything else, it's simple, but it's not necessarily easy to do or easy to implement. So let me ask you this. I mean, why is it that we continue to do things that don't serve our needs?
A lot of times it's because we never stop to ask whether or not what we're doing is serving our needs. For example, one of my favorite, I was on a radio show once, long ago, and it was being taped on a Saturday, and I went into the studio and was bantering around with the host, and I said, you know, gee, it must be kind of fun to come in here and do your show. And he said, oh, no, it's Saturday, you know, but I have to work Saturdays. And I said, well, how come? And he said, because I'm trying to earn enough money so that I can retire early and then actually spend some time with my wife and kids. And I kind of looked at him. And I said, that sounds really wonderful, So let me get this straight. Your goal is to spend time with your wife and kids. The way you're going to accomplish that goal is by earning a bunch of money. And the way you're going to earn a bunch of money is by doing things that take you away from your wife and kids on the weekends, which is when they're home. And wouldn't it be so much simpler not to work weekends and just to go spend time with your wife and kids? And maybe you can't do it on a $100,000 vacation because you're not making enough money to afford the $100,000 vacation, but at least you can do it at home, which you can't if you're in the studio working on Saturdays. He had had an end goal that he really was clear about, which is, I want to have a life where I get to spend time with my loved ones. He had chosen a way to go about it that involved making money, and making money by working many, many, many hours. And he never realized that the very path he had chosen to reach his goal was, in fact, keeping him from reaching his goal that was attainable today.
Wow. I mean, that's a penetrating insight from Steve Robbins. That's incredible, Steve. So what did he have to say to that?
Well, fortunately, I brought this up after the show was over. When his eyes got wide and he looked at me and said, oh my gosh, you're right, I could go home right now, instead of missing the radio interview, we had already done it, so
right.
He was free to go home.
Oh, that's great.
I never heard the postscript as to whether he changed the show to not be on Saturdays or to be recorded and then taped on a weekday and then done on the weekends. But he had never had that realization before. And,
interesting.
You know, and by the way, it's easy for me to talk about other people. I've had the same thing happen in a number of places in my life.
Interesting. We're talking to Steve Robbins, everybody. And you really cut right to the heart of your book. The very core, the first thing that you state in your book is that you have to really know and live on purpose. Why is it important to live on purpose? Why is that the first step in any productivity improvement that you're going to make?
Well, it's tricky. There's a couple of reasons to live on purpose. One is because if you want to be productive, you need to know what you're being productive at. A lot of people assume that being productive simply means working hard. And, you know, not at all. If this gentleman was working weekends, he wasn't reaching his goal. I used to go to conferences. I would go to 4 or 5 conferences a year as an attendee, not as a speaker. And I would always tell myself, I'm going prospecting, looking for clients. And one day, I had a marketing friend of mine turn to me and say, so, how many clients have you gotten from these conferences? I thought it sounded like a good question, and I went and looked, and it turns out the answer was 0.
Wow.
And by not connecting my actions with my purpose, I was doing an awful lot of work and not getting anywhere. So the first reason you want to live on purpose and you want to work on purpose is because if you don't know what your purpose is, you might take steps that don't get you there. And, you know, being productive in the wrong direction is not necessarily useful. But there's an even deeper reason, which is that if you manage to get yourself so you're incredibly efficient and good at what you do, and you're doing something that is taking you farther away from your actual life goals, then what you are doing is streamlining the very process of driving your life into the ground. And I see a lot of people do that. They spend many years getting extremely good at stuff they hate and then end up locked into a career they hate, a location they hate, a social circle they hate, and it's all because they were absolutely superb at doing the wrong thing, so much so that now they have way more of the wrong thing in their life than they ever thought possible.
Very much like the radio announcer that you talked about before. Very good.
Exactly.
Now, Stever, what I like about your approach in reading your book, that you had a lot of counterintuitive ideas just like that one. For instance, you talk about stop procrastinating. I mean, let's face it. Everybody who writes about productivity writes about stop procrastinating. Mostly these guys say break a project down into pieces, but you don't agree with that. You've got a different approach. You say you break your time into pieces. What do you mean by that, and how does it work?
Sure. Well, what happened was that I noticed one day that when I broke a large project down into pieces, then I would look at the pieces and go, these are pieces of a large project. Let me go do something else instead. But one of the things that I have virtually no resistance to is if I say, you know what, there's this task that I hate, but I'm going to spend 5 minutes on it and no more. And my brain, although it resists the idea of this great big project, my brain really can't argue with 5 minutes because no matter what the 5 minutes is spent doing, it's always a short enough amount of time that I'm willing to just do it. So I don't procrastinate it when I break something down into 5 minutes. So when I talk about instead of dividing your time, divide your time into tiny chunks 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever for you is a short enough amount of time that you're happy to just go ahead and do it. And then just take the 5 minutes and do the 5 minutes of work on the task that you're procrastinating. In fact, if you have several tasks you're procrastinating, I recommend speed dating them. Spend 5 minutes on the first one, 5 minutes on the second one, 5 minutes on the third one, take a little break, and then do it all again. And what you'll find is that this actually has two great effects. One is you won't procrastinate it because it's such a small amount of time, your brain is not going to protest. And then the unexpected effect is that a lot of times when we're procrastinating one thing, we're thinking about when we're doing one thing, we're thinking about all the things we're procrastinating.
Right.
And when we stop doing the one thing and start doing the things we're procrastinating, now we're thinking about the thing that we were doing a few minutes ago that we stopped doing. And by doing five-minute chunks, your brain will let you focus completely for the 5 minutes because you know you're going to get to the next things that are also on your plate within 5 minutes. So instead of thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm working on my report, but I'm not making any progress on my presentation, you're thinking, you know what, I'm spending 5 minutes on the report and I can focus completely and I don't have to worry about the presentation because I know as soon as I'm done with the 5 minutes on the report, then I'll have the 5 minutes to work on the presentation.
All right, Steve. I mean, that makes some sense. But let me ask you two quick follow-up questions. If I'm working in these five-minute blocks, how will that move me towards my goals faster? Because 5 minutes doesn't seem like a lot of time to be spending on anything.
No, well, first of all, you'll be doing them. Because if you recall, this is from Chapter 2, Stop Procrastinating.
Right.
So this is specifically around how to deal with tasks that you've been procrastinating. So one way it'll move you towards your goal faster is you simply will be doing something, whereas before you were doing nothing. But
right.
The other thing is, since your brain will let you focus for the five-minute chunks, you would be surprised. You can actually make some serious progress in 5 minutes. And the paradox is that knowing you have a five-minute deadline allows you to be much more focused and much quicker than if you knew you had an hour or two.
All right. Second follow-up question, and that it has to do with multitasking. I mean, you address this in your book, but a lot of people talk about it, that the idea of multitasking is really not the best idea, that we should really focus on one thing at a time. Now, this sounds to me a lot like multitasking, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes on the next thing. So how do you reconcile this with the whole idea of staying focused and not multitasking?
Excuse me, I was typing an email. I didn't hear your question.
All right. Very, very funny.
Now, this is interesting because I've wrestled with this myself. There's two types of multitasking that I've read about in the research. One is when you're actually splitting your attention. So that's when you're talking on the phone, but you're composing an email at the same time, or you're having a conversation with someone and you're looking down at your BlackBerry, or you're driving and you're texting, or even talking on the phone. It doesn't actually matter. If you're splitting your attention, that is the kind of multitasking which not only results in you doing everything poorly, but they have recently discovered that it causes actual degradation of your brain functioning across all categories. So the more you multitask in that way, the split attention type multitasking, the more you will actually degrade your brain's ability to solve or do anything. And of course, the irony is that one of the very first things to go is your ability to assess how well you're doing things. So as soon as you start doing that kind of split attention multitasking, you become convinced you're being very efficient. But external measures show that, in fact, you're getting less efficient, and you're getting less efficient across the board, not just at the things that you're multitasking.
Wow. Interesting. All right, so that's one, split attention. But the other type of multitasking, you said there are two types.
It is when you change activities very rapidly. What the research shows is that it requires a fair amount of time to get back into the activity you switched away from. So the idea is you should focus on one thing for an extended period because it takes a while to get back into it. I went and actually read the research, and what they were measuring, interestingly, at least in the research that I was able to find, was not having three or four defined tasks and switching between them. What they were measuring was somebody working on a task and then being interrupted and then having to come back from the interruption. And what would happen, you know, it's funny because it got reported as it takes your brain this amount of time to get back into it. But again, in the research that I read, it was things like once I'm interrupted, then before I get back to my task, I check my email, I check my voicemail, I get distracted by other things. And that's different. When you're doing a speed dating session with your task, you're not giving yourself a chance to be distracted. You're doing sequential focus. And now, I found this works really well. I don't know of any research done directly into this technique, but what my theory, and this is purely my theory, it certainly is not backed up by anything I've ever read, is that because you're limiting the number of tasks and you're cycling between them, you're actually bringing everything for all of the tasks into short-term and medium-term memory, you know, the memory that's just right below consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not genuinely switching completely among things. You've got all of it kind of in your brain at once. And because you're switching rapidly between them, it doesn't require your brain to completely recapture all the information and get back into the zone. It's more like you've got the zone and you're just swapping which elements you're paying attention to, those elements being the different tasks on your speed dating list.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Steve Robbins, everybody. He's the Get It Done guy. We're talking about his latest book, 9 Steps to Work Less and Do More. Steve, you bring up interruptions or distractions. I want to talk about those when we come back. Don't answer it now, but when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi there, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My special guest in this first half hour is Steve Robbins. He's the Get It Done guy, and he's written a book, 9 Steps to Work Less and Do More. And before we went away to break, Steve, you had mentioned and just brought it up in passing, this whole concept about distractions and how the mind works with distractions. You've got a counterintuitive approach about distractions, too. What are your keys to beating distractions? Because I love some of the tips that you give here.
Sure. One of my favorite ones is to schedule your interruptions. And that's where you actually block off time on your calendar, either every day or every other day, or it really depends on the nature of your job, sometimes twice a day. But you say, you know what? My interruption time today is between 3 and 4 p.m. And if any sort of interruption comes in, I pay just enough attention to it to know whether or not it really has to be dealt with immediately. You know, sometimes if the building is burning down, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I have a piece of paper that's labeled interruption list, and I write it down on the interruption list, and then I say to the person or the event that brought it into my life, I say, wonderful, amazing, incredible, I am so psyched to deal with this. Today it's 3. Call me back. Bye. Click. And then I continue doing my work. And when 3 o'clock rolls around, I now have an interruption list, which are all of the things that came up that I now have to deal with.
Right.
So that's when I get back to people and say, okay, remember that thing you wanted me to review your memo? Well, you know, I can do it now.
All right. So putting them down on paper. Now, what else does that do psychologically, putting it on paper? Does that have any other benefits besides just diverting your time to one big block when you can address your distractions?
Oh, well, absolutely. I love paper. Because when you write things down on paper, you can stop thinking about them. So within the case of the interruptions, when you write the interruptions down on paper, your brain can completely let go of them as long as you know you're going to get back to that list during your interruption. So rather than thinking in the back of your mind, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to review this memo, I'm going to have to review this memo, am I going to have time, how's it going to go, you just know you'll deal with it all between 3 and 4. And you can go on and continue focusing on whatever it is you're focusing on now and not even worry about the memo until the 3 or 4 comes around.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Steve Robbins, everybody. You've also got another interesting approach in the distractions area about dividing your weeks into certain types of days. Could you go over that for us? Because I found this very amusing and interesting, too.
Yes, I learned this from Jack Canfield, who is the creator of the Chicken Soup series.
Who lives right up the road from us, by the way. Shameless plug.
Oh, yeah, that's an amazing series of books. And what you do is you divide your days into admin days or buffer days, depending upon what the day of the week is and what I'm calling it. But you have focus days, admin days, and spirit days. On admin days, you do only administrative tasks, all that brainless kind of stuff that just has to be done to keep life running. You fill out your insurance forms. You do expense reports. Consolidate all of your to-do lists into one big list. You clean your office, whatever those tasks are that aren't directly related to moving your business and your life forward. On focus days, you don't do any admin days or any admin tasks. You just work on the most important things that are the things that actually move you towards your goals. And then on spirit days, you don't work. You do things that are nourishing and that feed your spirit. Now, once upon a time, long ago, we had a lot less admin work than we have now, and if we did have it, at least white-collar workers often had secretaries or people who would do a bunch of it for them. And then we had weekends, which were our spirit days. But over time, that structure has been eroded, and especially with the advent of communication technology, cell phones and all that kind of stuff, what used to be spirit days are now often a mix of admin stuff, focus stuff, and maybe if you're lucky, you get some spirit stuff, and then all the rest of the time is also this big mishmash. And this gets back to the interruption question, because when you're in the middle, when you have some task that is really important to getting your moving your business forward or moving your life forward, let's say it's writing a report, and you keep being interrupted by things, especially by admin tasks, you know, oh, we need you to fill out this timesheet, it's incredibly distracting. And this is the this is exactly the type of thing that the research does show completely knocks you off your game for respect with respect to the focus task. So if you know that you're going to be doing all your focus tasks on Tuesday, Monday can be all of your admin stuff. And then you've cleared your plate, you don't have any of that stuff to think about, and you can spend all day Tuesday focusing.
I love it. Focusing on admin, focus, and spirit days. Now, another key to productivity for you is to stay organized. If you ever saw my office, you'd be appalled. It's messy. I mean, there are papers and books. They're everywhere. My wife hates it. But one of your steps is to stay organized. What I like about your system is that you eliminate the confusion between being organized and being neat. So give us some tips for staying organized, please.
Well, the distinction you mentioned is a really important one, because a lot of people think that being organized means being neat. I am extremely organized, and my office, at least, is not particularly neat, just like yours. But what being organized means is it means you have a place for everything, and you know where to go to find it. When people think about disorganization leading to chaos, here's what disorganization does. It means when you need something, instead of spending your time doing the task that you need it for, you have to spend your time hunting for the tool. If I don't have a toolbox and I need a hammer because there's a nail that needs to be pounded, and I have to spend an hour and a half going through piles in my office searching for a hammer, and I finally find it laying underneath the desk covered by by an African hookah pipe or something,
okay.
You know, then I've just spent my hour and a half looking for my tool instead of using it to pound in nails. Whereas if I know, you know what, I keep my tools in a big pile over there behind the giant velvet Marilyn Monroe poster, then when I need my hammer, even though it may be messy, I can go right over to the poster, lift it up, there's the hammer, hammer my nail, and then put the hammer back. So being organized is about having a place for everything to minimize the time you spend searching in your life. It's not about things being neat in any physical organized fashion.
All right, and I love that distinction. My wife may not, but I love that distinction. Now, one of the things you talk about is organizing your brain. What did you mean by organizing your brain?
Ah, well, organizing your brain, you know, a lot of that, people don't know what to think about and when to think about it and how to think about it. So we assume that the way that we think is the most efficient way to think about different tasks, and it actually may not be. So one of the things that I use, for example, to organize my brain is I'm a fanatic about what's called engineer's graph paper, and don't be afraid of the name. It can be used by people who aren't engineers, and it's just graph paper with a wide first column and a tall top row. So that you can label the rows and the columns. And I use this for everything. When I'm dealing with a project, I write the steps of the project, one on each row, and then I write things like who the members of the project team are on each column, and I put a little X by which person is responsible for which task, and voila, I now have a complete delegation chart. I use it for all kinds of other things, too. If there are several things that I'm tracking through the same project, so let's say that I was managing three student teams at one point when I was working at Babson College, and each one of those teams had to get me their team mission statement. So I had a row labeled team mission statement. Each team was one of the columns, and as they sent in their team mission statement, I checked it off. And with a glance, I would just look down a column, and I could see all of the things that any given team had or hadn't yet gotten to me. Or I could look at a row and tell which teams had gotten me that thing and which teams hadn't.
Deceptively simple. We're talking to Steve Robbins, everybody. He's the get it done guy. He's got 9 steps to work less and do more. Steve, we've only got about a minute left, but one of the things I found interesting that you wrote is doing more and working less depends on building stronger relationships. I thought that was kind of unusual for a productivity group. How does having good relationships with others help people save time, energy, and effort?
Oh, good heavens. You can ask people for favors, and they'll do them. You can ask people to introduce you to people who can help you get things done, and they'll do it. You know, there's also psychological benefits, which is that people who have a lot of close relationships are happier. But in terms of just the sheer practicality of it, and I learned this, by the way, from a man named Keith Ferrazzi, who has wrote a book called Never Eat Alone, which is all about the power of relationships in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I started noticing in my life that really all of the interesting stuff I do relies on other people. So if I have other people who I am close to, it becomes much easier to sit down with someone and say, hey, I have a problem I'm trying to solve. Like, right now I'm involved with a production of Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm in charge of breaking down the set. And if I can call the different designers, the lighting designer and the set builder, and talk to them, and they will take my calls, it'll be much faster for me to come up with a list of what needs to get done than if these people don't like me or barely know me, and so they get back to me whenever they get back to me. When people like you, they will actually pay attention to you and answer your questions and make an effort to help you out, versus if they don't like you, maybe they'll do that if they're a nice person, but generally speaking, your ability to marshal people to do large tasks and make large efforts is really highly eroded.
We're talking to Steve Robbins, everybody, the Get It Done guy. His book is The 9 Steps to Work Less and Do More. Steve, I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. I really appreciate your insights and some of your counterintuitive thinking that you've got in the book. Thanks so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you down the road.
Talk to you soon.